Well, we are glad that you're doing these specializations. I think it'll really help. You've already done the seven A's from Ken Sandy, right? The eight. Now, remember, you got to know those. Like, that's going to be on the test, all right? So you just want to be sure you know those. This first point here regarding the issue of forgiveness is a crucial step in reconciliation. Here is one of the first objectives. Conflict resolution and unity is part of the new covenant ministry of reconciliation. So you need to hang on to that phrase. And you might want to, for those who are so inclined, hang on to a few of these passages because they might come up. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let me read a few verses out of it, reminding us of the new covenant ministry. Really, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 through 5 covers a wide swath of it. But chapter 5, beginning in verse 18. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That passage is going to serve as one of the keynote texts for the ministry of reconciliation and the new covenant ministry of reconciliation. Ephesians uses the metaphors of his body, a new man, members of God's house, fellow citizens of a spiritual kingdom, and different parts of the body to show that vertical reconciliation also produces horizontal reconciliation. For Jews and Gentiles, there was a dividing wall that existed between them, and it is Christ who took it down. And that helps with passages like James chapter 5. My brethren, if any of you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from his error or from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. So he's emphasizing in this first point here is the role that forgiveness is going to play in the reconciliation process. That's the key to this session here. And it's going to show up on the exam. Do you see forgiveness as a crucial step in the ministry of reconciliation? And do you believe that reconciliation is really the ministry that we're about? And we think about reconciliation with God first and then with one another. Ephesians chapter 2 highlights both of those. First 10 verses, reconciliation between us and God through Christ. Verses 11 to 22, the reconciliation that he brings about with his people. Therefore, we have been reconciled as a result of what Christ has done. In 1 Peter 4, it says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sin. Or, here's another one. Again, these are passages you're going to need to have in your mind as you take these tests. Colossians 3, do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the Son, the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. reconciliation, unity is part of new covenant ministry that God has provided through Christ with him and then with one another, that is with fellow believers. And so really that's the key component to this part of the specialization. Do you see reconciliation as a ministry associated with new covenant? Then, once you get that, then you deal with the issue of forgiveness. If we're gonna have that, right, if you don't have repentance, then you don't have what? Change. If you don't have repentance, you don't have change, because repentance implies a turning. Well, if you don't have forgiveness, then you don't have reconciliation. You still have a broken relationship. So without forgiveness, you don't have reconciliation. Well, I think it's pretty clear that the Bible explains that God is more than willing to forgive those who ask. Those who approach him in repentance and faith are granted forgiveness of their sin. The question that it's now going to pose is, well, what about us? And here's where we remind our counselees that forgiveness is required. You guys remember that? After all, in Ephesians 4:32, we forgive just as God has forgiven us. In Matthew 18, it tells the parable of the 10,000 talents versus the 100 denarii, and it's a reminder that you can never, ever, 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 ever outforgive God. So our counselees have to remember that the reconciliation that God has provided with himself through forgiveness is the very thing that motivates us to do the same with each other. And when a person doesn't do that, when they fail to forgive, when they're unwilling to forgive, then we can rightly question whether or not their reception of forgiveness is real and genuine. Are you concerned that there might be some professors in your church and not just possessors? You know, the Bible's pretty clear. And at least around here, we interpret the vast majority of the warning passages as an illustration that there are unbelievers in your midst. And he's warning the unbelievers, you know, don't just enjoy being around church people. You have to repent and believe. Well, if a person isn't willing to forgive, then that may suggest that that person is also unregenerate. So again, we come back to reconciliation, emphasizing the reconciliation that needs to occur between them and God before they're going to be in a position to reconcile with one another. Then we help counselees understand that forgiveness is an act of the entire person. Our favorite forgiveness definition comes from Chris Braun's book. Have you guys read Chris Braun's? It's a very helpful book on forgiveness. He says it's a commitment by the offended to pardon graciously the repentant from moral liability and to be reconciled to that person, although not all consequences are necessarily eliminated. That is a mouthful of a definition. But why is it so long? Because it's complicated. You know, we were talking a couple of days ago about divorce and remarriage, and we were highlighting how challenging it is to come to a very firm position because there's so many things that you have to bring together, and you can find people who are very supportive of your position, whichever one it happens to be, and they're going to be good people. You don't just have to go to, you know, crazy bookstore to find it. Well, here, this definition is complicated because you have a lot of passages that relate to forgiveness that make it more challenging. You have texts that really try to bring matters together, like to pardon means to free or to release. The moral liability. I think